call this meeting Budget and Finance Committee to order. And I believe our county administrator has a words of wisdom about our audio system.
Thank you, Justice Lahowski. Just a quick announcement, more house cleaning than anything else. We've done some modifications to our sound system over the past couple of weeks, and so it's going to be very important that you utilize your microphones. In times past, the microphones were able to pick up the audio in the air, and so we've stopped that. Now we're having a live feed directly out of our mixer. So if you're standing over here in the audience and stand up, you will not be picked up. So anybody that wishes to speak tonight, if they'll come to this location right here and speak to the Quorum Court in the audience, I'm hoping it will see vast improvement. So just making that announcement, just use your microphone.
Perfect.
Thank you, Justice.
Thanks so much. All right. First on our agenda, we have special reports. We have our monthly finance report. Treasurer Sanson was not able to be here tonight, but he did send the reports over, and he sent me some notes to read along with them. Normally, he reads this ending balance column here for these large funds right there, and he reads those off to him, but you can see those for yourself. He's really good at it. I'm going to let y'all read those. As we flip the page, you can see the nice 2023 bar is the bright blue bar sitting on top of everything. So that's good. If you look at the next sheet for our sales tax revenue in July, we have $1.182 million in sales tax revenue, up 3.42% from this time last year. And year to date, we are 5.42% over 2022. You kind of get the same story on the next page. And then the nice graph that goes along with it. One thing Scott did say was usually in July, we have more expenditures than we do revenues because of how the taxes come in and that kind of stuff. But he said actually this year we're about $200,000 over revenue than we are in expenditures. So he said that's looking really good. And then he said county general revenue looks great, still trending about $500,000 above 2022. Does anybody have questions about the financial report?
Yes, Chairman. Did he mention when those come back down? Because he said if they're above average in July, what is it, like August, September?
Well, usually they're above average. Normally at this time in July, we are negative. We have higher expenditures than we do revenues, but we're actually $200,000 in the positive. So we're doing better than expected. Gotcha. But I don't know when that corrects. Taxes are due October 15th. Or something like that. So I think that's when we get a flood of revenue.
Thank you.
That answer your question?
Absolutely.
All right. Anybody else have any questions on the financial report? All right. For new business, do we have a motion for 23-23?
Make a motion. We talk about ordinance 23-23.
Second.
All right, there's been a motion in a second. Let's see. I'm on proposed ordinance 23-23. I'm going to do what I normally do. I'm looking at big amounts here. $300,000. Do y'all have, Mr. Higgins, do you want to speak to that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you're aware, that on June 25th, we had a storm come through Conway, do some significant damage. We also have evidence that we had a lightning strike at the Justice Building. At that time, we had damaged a number of our systems there, including our security system. We were able to cannibalize the existing system and get the first floor back operational, so the building itself is secure. But I've had the vendors come in and look at it, and the system's 10 years old. A direct repair is not possible. We're going to have to do an upgrade. We're working on a number of options on that, but the cost, we have some estimates, are right at $300,000. We will get reimbursed from insurance on this, but that could be weeks, four, five, 6 weeks. We're not sure yet of when that claim likes to be paid. In the meantime, we have a security issue at the Justice Building. So what I'm proposing is that we do an appropriation out of the Capital Expenditure Fund to go ahead and get the repairs started immediately. And when the insurance pays off, we will reimburse that directly into the Capital Expenditure Fund. Any questions?
Mr. Higgins, did they have any idea how long the upgrade or how long it will take to get it all fixed and back up online?
It'll probably take longer to order the equipment. Equipment will be here in about a week. They can probably do it in 4 or 5 days. Then there'll be some retraining of the staff, including myself. So we potentially could have it up and running from the day we say go within two and a half weeks.
Thank you.
Again, that's soon as we start, as soon as you guys approve it next week in court.
Okay. Other questions? Mr. Higgins, I'm going to leap and make an assumption that Section 2, which talks about moving money over into emergency pay, may be also connected to the storms?
I don't think it is.
Okay.
Is it?
It is.
It is?
Okay. Yes. During the emergency, we pay out a time and a half.
Oh, that's right.
Not overtime. Okay. And we depleted our money for that. We're just getting ready and reloading for the next time we need it.
Perfect. Is there any more discussion on proposed ordinance 23-23?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. All right, all in favor of passing proposed ordinance 23-23 onto the full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Passes to the full court. Do I have a motion on 23-24?
Make a motion that we put ordinance 23-24 before the committee for discussion.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Do we have anyone who would like to speak to this? There you go.
So I'll be happy to speak to it. So essentially we had a change in the state statute governing the pay for the election commission. This amended the Arkansas Code 7-4-105, as you see there in Section 1. This is essentially the same ordinance that we passed several years ago, I guess in 2022, regarding the Election Commission pay. However, what this does, one, it increases it, I believe, from $100 to $125, which is the minimum. So this quorum court could establish any number there. It's just $125 is the minimum. If you wanted to be $1,000, it could, but traditionally this court has gone with the minimum. And then the other thing that was changed from the previous ordinance that was in place, Section 3 had a section in there in which we paid our election commissioners if they worked for 4 hours or more outside of a meeting. So we called this the Ronnie Hall provision. Mr. Hall would often spend time, and of course he was never paid, by the way, or never accepted a payment. But he would spend time going from poll to poll to poll, making sure that they were willing to be a poll for future elections or checking on them during the election. So this is outside of a regularly scheduled meeting, but this is still work provided by the commission. The change there, this proposed ordinance no longer has a flat fee for hours worked over 4 hours. Rather, it mirrors the statute, which says $15 per hour of time worked, up to 40 hours per election. That's the exact language in the statute now. Once again, if y'all want to increase that amount, you can, but the minimum is $15. So those are the two changes that we're looking at enacting. This is just really to keep up with the state law that was put in place. We really don't have a choice, however, we want to make sure that our county ordinances are in alliance with what the state has handed down.
Thank you, sir. To your knowledge, do you know if we need to appropriate any money to incur this change?
I'm not the person to ask on that one. I don't think there needs to be an additional appropriation. Margaret would normally be the person that watches over that budget. And to my knowledge, we talked about this yesterday, but I don't think there's an additional amount at this point needed. One of the issues ongoing, and when we discussed this issue, maybe it was in probably 2020, I guess, when we first during my tenure looked at that, was there was an issue in Van Buren County with the Election Commission, I think, kind of having a lot of meetings that weren't budgeted, but Margaret usually does a pretty good job keeping up with that and letting the quorum court know when and if there's additional funds needed.
Perfect. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions?
I do, Councilman. You said that we would set the per diem being 125 minimum. Is that going to be a particular meeting we do that, or is that even known when we would do that?
No, this is what the ordinance that sets the...
So once the ordinance passes, then the motion is to do it afterwards at some point?
That's right. So once the ordinance passes in full court, it'll go into effect immediately. So basically, gotcha. Beginning next election commission meeting, they would be paid, if this passes, $125 for a meeting. I think today, at least two of our election commissioners were down in Little Rock doing training. They are heavily invested. As most of y'all know, there are two members that are chosen by the Republican Party, one that's chosen by the Democratic Party, and they put in a lot of hours, not just in meetings here, but also in training and dealing with other issues around. It is really a thankless job in many ways for what they're paid. It is, in some ways, kind of like quorum court, but there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes.
Thank you for that. It's a good explanation.
Any further discussion? All right. All in favor of passing 23-24 onto the full court, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Moving on. We have proposed ordinance 23-26, sponsored by Justice Pearson. Do I hear a motion for this ordinance?
I propose that we put ordinance 23-26 before the committee for discussion.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second, and I will let Justice Pearson start the conversation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members, for putting the ordinance on the table for discussion. Welcome to the court, Justice Roberts.
Great. Thank you.
Welcome. So I was approached a couple months back by some folks from the library board here at the Farmer County Library that have some needs for some restorations inside the library and no revenue source to offset those needs. My understanding is that they approached the judge's office with some of those needs, and his advice was to potentially request an ARP appropriation to help offset the funds needed for those repairs on the library. On the museum. And they came to me and asked if I would sponsor an ordinance. I was happy to do so. They can speak to their needs far better than I can, so this time I'd like to invite either the museum director or Mr. Odom from the committee, from the board, to speak, whoever would like to, and answer any questions.
Thank you.
My name is Lenita Langley Ware, and I'm the director of the Faulkner County Museum. We put our request before the quorum court Budget and Finance Committee. Our building was built in stages. The oldest part of it was built in 1896. That part's doing pretty good, but the parts that were built between 1960 and 1979 have asbestos tile flooring, which is coming up. The tiles are coming up, creates a safety hazard. It's asbestos. And the electrical systems in the building were put together in five stages. One portion of the electrical system still uses glass fuses. And so this is not up to current electrical code, and we feel it's a safety issue. So that's part of why we're bringing this up. We need help.
Does anyone have any questions for?
And some of our ordinance, is the museum under construction now?
We began a renovation effort about 5 years ago when we had some structural issues. We've done everything that we can do to this point. So we're not actually under construction. We can't go any further until we get the asbestos tile addressed. And we're having difficulty getting contractors to even consider the project because of the asbestos tile that needs to be abated. So between 2018 and now, we've used our own money and we've raised funds to put a new roof on the building, to put a pitched roof on the flat part. We've restructured the area around the museum to redirect drainage We've written grants and gotten a full-out window restoration on all the windows in the historic structure of the building. We've done about $250,000 worth of work on that building over the past 5 years with help from the county and with help from corporate sponsors. But we're at a point where we need help.
Thank you.
Chairman, I have a question.
Yes.
And this is more for, I guess, the county judge's administration. If I recall, and Chairman, please help me remember this, April or May, Judge Dotson told us a plan for 4 or 5 projects involving ARP, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong because my memory is terrible. If we were to pass this tonight and it goes to quorum court, does this interfere with any of those plans, if I can ask that?
Justice Tyler, thank you. Lydia, thank you. Just to recap, I want to go over the, of course, we're talking about just for the benefit of probably Justice Roberts and anybody else who's here. We received $24 million in ARP money and some change. $14 million and change of that is restricted very narrowly in what we can do. With that money, this would not qualify for that as a capital improvement expenditure. The remaining $10 million we characterize at the permission of the U.S. Treasury as revenue replacement, which means that as long as you're providing for government services, so provision of government services with the $10 million, that's okay. In other words, anything else you would have probably normally done with County General or any other budget you approve. So of that $10 million, the court asked my administration to provide an outline for recommended distribution of those funds. The recommendation that I gave started and really ended with expansion of the detention center. We've made great progress on that. We won't be briefing you on that this month, but anticipate that we will the following month. And we've made a great deal of progress on that. We're just working on finding the details of that. That's going to be quite a bit of money. I suggested $5 to $5.5 million for that, $1 to $1.5 million to construct the animal shelter, $1 million for the courthouse, $1 million for 911 PSAP consolidation, which is mandated by the state, and then $1 million for the levee repairs. We will be pursuing the levee repairs, or at least a study on the repairs or improvements in addition to the levy to protect us against what happened in 2019, which was everyone was worried that levy was going to fail later this year. And we'll be addressing that with Senator Bozeman. And we think he'll be listening with a really attentive ear on that. So anyway, just to summarize, of the $10 million, I and my administration suggest be ready to spend $5 or $5.5 million, if the animal shelter can be built with less than $1 million, that would give us $5.5 million toward the construction of the jail, which will be much more expensive than that. Much more expensive than that. And the other repairs, obviously this courthouse is probably the worst shape of any building that we have. It's going to need a lot of money to fix. So I would urge you not to spend that now. 911 PSAP consolidation is not something that is a permissive undertaking by us. We've got to do it. Exactly how much it's going to cost, we don't know yet. The other two items, I believe one of them was the levy improvement. Whatever we do there is going to cost several millions of dollars and will require our local match. Did I leave one off? I think that covers it. Jail, courthouse, animal shelter, 911 PSAP consolidation, and levy. So, where you pull for the library, excuse me, the museum. When I grew up too, Tyler, where is Justice Pearson? There he is. When I grew up, that was the library. I remember it well. I used to go there often. So, they do have needs. What a fellow board member characterized it to me as is like, look, we've got donors who are willing to give. It's harder to do that if the county's not pitching in. Now, what I would say in a counterpoint to that is I think the county does pitch in, so I'm not sure that's a fair characterization, but I think NABHOL stepped up and offered their services for design and I think project management. Is that right, Lanita?
Yes.
So anyway, it is your pleasure. If you choose to spend some of this ARP money, we can't take it from the $14 million. It'll have to come from the 10. So other than that, I support the museum. I support all they do. A lot of good. Our county's got one it can be proud of. But at the same time, I understand you have priorities. I'll respect whatever your wishes are.
Thank you, Judge. Did that answer your question?
Well, I have this question, if I can ask the director. And first of all, appreciate you coming down. I always appreciate those taking chances like this and asking us questions. I guess my thing is, is there any matching grants you guys can get provided for you? Has there been any research in that to help draw these funds for you guys?
Yes, there are. Unfortunately, the grants that we have access to are the historic preservation restoration grants, courthouse improvement grants, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
They typically will not fund large projects on the insides of the building. So they're really good at enclosing the envelope, getting the building in the dry, doing the things like that to help you keep the building standing. But internally, they're not as willing to give. There is money for things like asbestos abatement. This is a large structure, and I think the maximum for those grants is about $30,000. And we will be sending a letter of intent to the state. That grant cycle opens in September, and I already have a letter of intent drafted, and we will have a grant proposal ready for when they start accepting grants. So we have done that.
The judge mentioned something about donors. Is there any donors that you guys can draw from as well? I'm just asking because this is how I treat my own budget. Where can I draw the money from? That's the reason I'm asking these questions. Is there any other revenues?
We have worked in the past. Conley Corporation a few years ago partnered with us, and they granted us $100,000 over a five-year time period with county match. So for every $20,000, they gave us the county match. Those funds were used for the roof and, you know, doing some of the other things. We have not had anyone step forward at this point.
Thank you so much for answering those questions.
Jessica?
If I may speak frankly for just a few moments. The $10 million that is unencumbered has a lot of big projects in it. And important projects to the people of our county that are, I don't want to say bigger fish to fry, but I almost feel like we have bigger fish to fry. The museum is important, don't get me wrong. I think it's an incredible part of our county that we need to maintain. But I have two points of that. Having drawn off the top of the $10 million concerns me. You know, we were talking about our personal budgets. We have to prioritize, and I just don't know that the museum should be our money that comes off the top. My second question is, as a licensed contractor, you mentioned the fact that you were having trouble finding people to work and do all those projects. You know, it is a smaller project. And so once we were able to get some contractors working on the courthouse, with y'all being just right across the parking lot, I really think that would be a great liaison between the two. To, you know, have them here, and then they can easily go across. So my point is, I do not want to say no, that I'm not for this, because don't get me wrong, I'm completely for the museum. I want to see y'all funded. But I'm afraid that I don't feel comfortable with it coming off the top of the $10 million. So with that being said, I really feel like, can we table this issue?
Make a motion to table? Yes.
This and come back and revisit it after we get some of the numbers for, I know the jail numbers should be in soon, the animal shelter numbers should be in soon. Is that something that the committee would entertain? If I make a motion to table this?
you can make the motion, and if someone seconds it, then we can have that discussion. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we table this ordinance until later this year.
Okay.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. We'll discuss that motion. I'll go first. I kind of agree with you, Justice Coates. I think it's been critical ever since the beginning of this ARP conversation to keep this $10 million kind of together as long as we can until we know what it's for. Because, and I do agree that we have, I'm so honored that we have the museum that we have and the Faulkner County Historical Society that we have that does the work here in Faulkner County to preserve and promote our history. And I agree with what you said, kind of, maybe the judge can take into consideration carving off some of that money that may go towards this courthouse and repairing this to kind of go with the museum as well, because I think that's just as critical as it, with this courthouse.
Sure, I'd love to see some of the upstairs jail part in the museum. That is really, it's really a neat thing if you've never been up there.
So that's just my opinion on it. The other justices have discussion on this motion?
Yeah, if we're on the motion of tabling this, is it okay to ask if there's a generalized timeline of when some of these other projects would be completed? Is that appropriate to ask?
I think, well, I'll let the judge speak.
And generally, I'm not asking for an exact time, but I'm sure
you're going to, not next Tuesday's meeting, which would be the August meeting, September, you're gonna see some clarity in terms of direction from my administration. First of all, Justice Coates will have an update on the animal shelter. I'm not going to steal her thunder. I expect she'll have a few words tonight. If not, we all know that our architect should have the final plans to us, and we'll see some clarity there, quite a bit of clarity on the animal shelter. That's the second largest sum that will be recommended, the jail being the greatest. I would recommend not touching any of the money we recommended for setting aside for the jail, because we're going to need more than twice that for the jail, and likely much more than that. But we're just not ready to share that to you until we button up some of the final details, but that will be in September as well, barring something unforeseen. So those are the two largest drivers. I would also say that the 911 PSAP consolidation, there'll be a big update September at the latest on that. And that we should know more about the costs of that, and then we'll know what that looks like going forward in terms of the organization and the timeline of that. So those being the bulk of that $10 million, I think we could nail down the others. The levy, we just won't know until after the first year when the U.S. Senate begins their first of the year work with their various funding programs. So, and who knows what that's going to be. We just will not know until we can get a study, appropriate study conducted. But I think it's safe to set aside that money. And at the end of the day, if whatever projects are recommended from that levy improvement study, if they don't use that $1 million, we'll have other places to spend it, that's for sure. So that was a long-winded answer, but I think gets you to maybe a place of better understanding for when we're going to know more about that $10 million. So just to close with a point, September's meeting.
Thank you, Judge, for the answer.
Got a follow-up question to the judge, actually.
Absolutely.
But the million for the courthouse renovations, do you have any indication about that?
Well, we're spending money daily. It seems like HVAC units, including this one, go out all the time. We don't have that money. We don't have a distribution for that, frankly, because out of respect for the other projects, we're not going to commit that to contractors. And once we know more about the jail and animal shelter, we'll zero in on how we'd recommend spending that $1 million. So I'm not trying to be evasive. It's just that if the other things have got to have more money, we're not going to spend $1 million on grades for the Corbin Corbin.
Thank you. That makes sense.
So we're pumping the brakes a little bit on that. And we need more money than that for the courthouse campus, to be frank, but we kind of know that's our limit. Trying to be responsible with it.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you so much. Do we have any other discussion on Justice Coates' motion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, this ordinance has been tabled for the time being. And like I said, Justice Coates, I don't think it's a no. I think it's just a not yet.
Absolutely.
I just want to say thank you for taking up the ordinance again. Thank you for deliberating it. I appreciate your judgment on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice.
All right, next on the agenda says additional proposed ordinances passed from other committees. We have none of those. We'll move on to announcements, and I would just take this chance to welcome Justice Roberts to the Quorum Court in your first official meeting.
Thank you.
We are a very pleasant committee. You'll not find this in other committees. Anybody else have any other announcements? All right. Budget and Finance is adjourned.
It wouldn't go forward, sit and crowd y'all. I'll move some.
You're the chair one.
No. It's just front and center. No. We're usually all three sit. Well, I guess she and I sit right here at dessert. You sit wherever you want to sit. I'm not going to go.
You know how sore my legs are. You don't want to get it. I start. You know Shauna Austin. You know Shauna. She's director of the animal show. Oh, yeah. Or she just retired. But not she's retired. She's training at 365.
She worked out with her today.
Yeah, she had a leg day.
Yeah. Yesterday.
Yesterday. Feeling good today. Yes.
Where did you take the stairs?
No.
Andy's not here.
You feel lonely?
Can I give you that?
Yeah. What, nobody wants?
Can I give you that sign-in sheet?
Okay.
I
think
I got one.
I put it in just as out.
Thank you.
Well, the last 2 mornings, so it's rain, so it kind of ran this out.
Do you run later then? Hey, Eden, she'll do the
heel. I know. I have mentioned.
Hey guys, I just want to follow up. Budget Finance did a great job with the microphones. You guys just continue on and we'll do good.
Thank you, Sal.
Yeah.
Yep, you're on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we toned yours down.
Probably good. All right. Justice Shock did get with me earlier this week and explained that one of his family members was having some health issues, and so we want to definitely keep her in our prayers. And he will not be here tonight, but I do want to call this meeting to order. Are there any special reports? Old business.
Says crypto mine on the report, so are you getting any other kind of update?
I hesitate to bring it up. Actually, there has been some work that has gone on out at the Bono site. They have brought in some of the temporary sound barrier abatement that is the hay. They did run out of hay. It took a lot more than what they expected, but we did see a little bit of a decrease in the decibel readings up at Mrs. Anderson's house. We hope that that continues. They're supposed to have some more hay delivered probably Wednesday or Thursday, and they plan to get that put up. The amended ordinance did pass this past month, so the permitting part was taken out, and I was very disappointed with that. But where we stand right now with the state legislature, we are sticking with what we have and moving forward for the time being. So the other old business that I want to discuss, old business, new business, we can say is both is the animal shelter. It's been mentioned several times tonight, and I hate to keep telling you we're so close, because trust me, there's been so many people knocking my email inbox down with when's the animal shelter, you know, number's going to be in. We're really trying to be detailed with that and have actual numbers that we can share with the committee and the court. And so then we can plan and know exactly what we're dealing with. So over the last week, we have answered some HVAC questions, some filtering questions. We're down to the nitty-gritty of what's going to be able to go out to bid, and I completely expect that to be in next month. So I hope to bring that before the committee next.
Can we circle back to the crypto miners now? Yeah. Do we have any kind of updates on the Sheriff's Department's equipment enforcement or anything that the ordinance? Because I know I've had some calls, and I'm sure other people have too.
So the Sheriff and Chief Deputy have been over and talked to both County Attorney and I. We've talked to them. They have ordered the equipment to actually do the enforcement. There's some training that has to go along with that, and then they're gearing up to prepare to do that.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or comments? No? All right, we'll go ahead and move on to new business. Proposed ordinance with the Hounds Hideaway Pet Parents Private Club application. And I believe Justice Lahowski, I'll let you speak on that.
All right. Oh, okay. Thanks so much. Long time no see, Justices. All right. I will divert your attention to the screen there behind us. This is just a... we've got something new and exciting. At least I'm excited about it for our little part of town over there on the east side of Conway. And I would say not just exciting for our little side of town, but really for central Arkansas. So what you're looking at here, and I just to warn you, I'm going to do a very bad job at explaining this, but we fortunately have the head human from Hounds Hideaway here to go into more detail about this and to ask all the questions you'll have. But there, Hounds Hideaway has grown so much, and y'all, I don't have to tell y'all this, since they've been here in Conway, and they do so much, and out of their West Conway location, that they were like, well, I think we really need to open a East Conway location. With that presents a unique opportunity to open up a private dog park. Which is kind of the concept picture you see there. Obviously, we're not like positioned, you know, in the mountains or anything like that, but that's just a picture of a nice dog park there. To open up a private dog park to where pet parents of Hounds Hideaway, who are fully vetted and everything else, can bring their pets. Is it just pets or is it only dogs? Is it only dogs? Cats or no? Only dogs. Okay. Bring your dogs to the dog park. But to also really give them an opportunity to just sit there and have a beer or a glass of wine while they're watching their pups play in the park. So that's really the concept around this. That's the whole thing. When I think about private club permits, and in the past when people have come and asked for private club permits, they're normally... a restaurant. That's normally what we've dealt with in the past, is a restaurant who wants to have a bar, who wants to serve drinks with their meals, and who wants to have live bands. This is, and it's really open to the public. It's not a private, essentially not a private club. This is going to be a private club that I would not be able to walk up into this place and order a beer. I'm pretty sure my dogs haven't had all the shots they're supposed to have and everything else. So they would not let me come into this place. I would not check all the boxes on the membership application. They're actually a membership application. There's vetting. There's checking out all the dogs. And then you're a member, and then you can come. With it being a dog park, there is not going to be live music. There's going to be no live music. There's going to be no loud noises besides the occasional bark, I assume, because that's upsetting to the pups. There also, I don't think there's going to be as well like a full menu. Is there this? It's just kind of, there's not going to be a full menu to this either. So this is not going to be a restaurant. This is going to be a dog park where you can sit there and drink a beer while you watch your pups play. They moved on to the next slide here. You can see some of the kind of annual passes and some of the membership requirements. And to really hit the points down there at the bottom again, no live music. The total capacity at this place is set to a certain amount because there can only be a certain amount of pups playing in the park at one time. Low serving limits. Earlier closing hours, this place is not going to be open until 11 or anything like most of our restaurants are. And then you see there, beer, wine, seltzer, and one drink of the month. So it's not anything crazy. So this is not your typical private club permit that we come and ask for. This is something new, something unique, something substantially more toned down than the normal private club permit that would be usually like a restaurant with a bar and live music. I'm up to the chair. I would like to give the floor to the head human here.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Tyler did a really good job of covering the gist of it. I can kind of tell you a bit of the why if you would like to know that. The 2 cents version is that the building that we purchased is bigger than what we need. So there's about probably 5,000 square feet inside of it that we don't really need for our second location. We only need about 10. And so the initial thought was, oh, we'll lease it out. And we could still do that, but this private park thing has been part of the Collins Hideaway concept since the beginning of the first one. And then we've also been approached about doing this in Northwest Arkansas, where we also have a Hounds Hideaway. I think I'm just a little bit catty and would rather do it at home and make it something cool here for us and use that space in a way that would benefit the community and our clients. And I think one thing Tyler and I have talked about is that I'm a dog person before a business person, and so ultimately what I want is for it to be easier for people here to own a pet. If you give people ways and places that they can socialize safely with their animals, more people will adopt them, which means more animals are spayed and neutered, more animals are up to date on shots, your animal shelter may be less full. So it really is further reaching into the community than just here's a place to come drink beer with your dog. So in using that square footage, it has to pay for itself. So an outdoor-only membership-based dog park is a thing. They're not a good idea here because the weather is not awesome outside here a lot of the time. So that brings in the need for indoor space to be part of it. Indoor space adds expense. And so adding the beer and wine part of it helps bring in enough to essentially pay for what we need. Restaurant and food are difficult with dogs because a lot of them have food aggression. And so in this type of concept, food isn't actually allowed in the dog areas. You can drink a beer, dogs don't kill each other over a beer, but a steak, maybe. So you want little quick snacks and such, and then people can just sit and hang out with a drink. So that's the quick version. Happy to answer any questions that you have. We do have an attorney that we've engaged on all of the ABC parts of this, and so if you have questions about that, I will try. But a lot of that may be things that I need to ask him about.
I think we have a question.
Yes.
So Justice Wohowski talked about that he could not just come in. If you don't have an animal that has passed all of the stipulations, you are not allowed just to come in sit in, even with a friend?
So in the membership tiers, you get guest passes. So if you wanted to come with me and I had a guest pass, I could bring you, not your dog. Your dog would have to go through the whole evaluation process and be a member. But if you are just a friend visiting from in town, sure, absolutely.
And our membership sold per animal or per couple or per person?
Per animal.
Per animal.
Mm-hmm.
So Kirby and I could both bring our dog.
Yeah.
Not that he's well-behaved enough to come, but...
But it's staff, so that's another big component of it, is that it's staff. So your typical city and apartment complex dog parks are not staff. So they present risk for safety reasons. People can break the rules, they can bend the rules, they can put their Great Dane in the small dog side with a Chihuahua that's terrified. They can bring their unaltered, 150-pound dog in there that has no control of his mind or hormones, and then you've got other problems. And so they have... they've lost a lot of popularity because they're just not safe, and so you've seen a lot of increase in daycare participation, which has been great for us, but the bear of it is that people can't hang out with their dogs, and that's not fun. Like, it is fun to have dogs and friends together and be able to do things together, and unless you're fortunate enough to have a full fenced-in backyard, not everybody can do that. And again, going back to wanting it to be easy to own a pet, I would like for people who live in apartments to be able to have dogs and still have ways to socialize together with their pets, even though they don't have the fenced-in backyard, still feel safe.
And where exactly would children fit into this?
So there'd be a separate space. So I have a human kid that is, she's good with dogs, but she's also a 5-year-old human kid, and you don't want them in a place with dogs that, may not be aggressive, but may just be uncertain. And so... we have allocated a small area that would be fenced off separately where if you're a parent, you could still manage dog, manage kid kind of the same way, but the children's area is fenced off separately and has playground equipment in it for them.
Is it staff?
Yes.
What are the age limits on the children's area?
You have to be at least 12 to go into the areas with the dogs, so anybody under 12 would go into the children's area.
So 16, 17-year-old kids.
They can come with the dogs. Again, going back to the staff part of it, the staff that manage the dogs also manage the people. And that's the other kind of cool part about it truly being a private club, is that these are going to be people that we would already have a relationship with through daycare and boarding and the other things we already do. So they have a little bit more to lose if they misbehave. Not the kids, but the person responsible for them. So... the intent would be that the person managing the park areas and the dogs would be able to tell those people, hey, if your 16-year-old is acting like a toddler, perhaps you should go. And I think they have a little bit more respect than maybe if they were just coming in off the street like that and didn't already have that relationship.
And I'm not knocking your staff or challenging your staff or anything like that. My concern is a 16-year-old from this friend who want to get guest passes, and somehow or another, that 16-year-old gets served alcohol. Now, I have a friend who works for state police, who his job is to hire teenagers to go to private clubs and retail establishments and go have them go in and try to buy. And I talked to him today after I read that we're going to consider this. He said 25%, about 25% of private clubs in Faulkner County violate, get cited when someone comes in there. He sends one of his kids there to buy. And it's not that you or your staff, I think, are bad people. I don't think people who drink are bad people necessarily. I don't think people are going to hell. I'm not one of those people who thinks that alcohol is the end-all, be-all, evil, death of America, all that thing. But I will tell you this, that I can't vote for this. There's no way I can vote for this. On January 15th of 2011, I fell asleep on a couch with two daughters. They weren't with me, but one of them was spending the night with someone. I woke up before midnight that night to a phone call with one daughter left alive because my 17-year-old daughter was shot and killed at a party where underage kids were drinking alcohol. From that day forward to now and for the rest of my life, I vowed to do everything I can to stop or to prevent or to lessen the number of underage kids and their access to alcohol. So in good conscience, I cannot ever vote to increase the sale of alcohol in Faulkner County.
I think that's fair. I do.
Any other comments from our committee? Questions?
Mr. Chair, we also have a here from the area if y'all need them to speak or give any testimony.
Yeah, I do want to give the committee an opportunity as well as other justices that are present. The committee, if y'all have anything to add, questions, comments?
This is the Fury Electric building?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I thought it was. And I'm clueless here. Is there anything about private clubs in proximity to churches or?
There is if you're doing retail sales, like a liquor store, so this wouldn't fall under, again, going from what the attorney says, that this wouldn't fall under that guideline.
Okay. Have y'all spoken with True Holiness?
No, I believe after the judge and I met, they were going to chat about it a little bit.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other justices in the gallery? Yes, Justice Tyler.
Yeah. Microphone.
Would I guess I can talk to you? Would the are there going to be bracelets of any sorts? Mm-hmm. That was it. Sorry, all that.
Is that the license or eligible people that could purchase alcohol, or is that a membership bracelet?
Right, so if you would only be able to come into the premises at all if you were a member. The bracelets would be similar to, like, if you ever been to a, I don't know, football game or something, or any kind of party where if you, you know, get your ID checked, get an armband saying that you're 21. I went to a thing at the St. Joe Bazaar last weekend, and that's what they gave us. You got a yellow armband if you were over 21. You got a purple one if you were under 21. So, same idea.
I have a question. Is there any limit?
No. That one is.
Okay, how's this? Okay. This isn't awkward at all. So, will there be anything in place to limit folks? I'm just thinking, when I drive with my mini doodle, she's all over the place. And I'm thinking of somebody that's maybe going to come in and have a few beer or, you know, glasses of wine or seltzers. That proposes a risk, I would think. You know, number one, we don't want drinking and driving. Number two, now you've got a pet that's going to be jumping around in your vehicle. So is there going to be a limit, you know, like a one drink limit kind of thing, or how does that work?
Right. That's why we put that in the slide about the lower serving limit. So that's a big deal to me, too. My dogs act the same way. And so, yes, I don't know exactly what it would be because I don't know what ABC's rule is to start with, whatever their rule is. I know it would be below that. And then with us closing earlier, it'll close at sunset. What I'd like to do is stop serving an hour before closing instead of like a last call or right before you close type of thing, so that at least there's time built in to make sure that nobody's being served anything else.
And then what time would serving begin? You know, I mean, I don't take Cha-Cha to the dog park very often, so I don't know all these things. What time could somebody get there at 9 o'clock and drink until 4?
I feel like no. I haven't gone through the specifics of that yet, but I don't think. Well, first of all, I'll back up and say, from a dog standpoint, I don't think I'd let a dog be there from 9 to 4. It's just not safe for them. I mean, that's like a whole day of daycare, and that is very, very hard for a dog to manage. If you add the parent into the mix, it would be impossible. I think at a point somebody had been there for 3 hours, we would probably start having conversations about, like, hey, they're probably getting kind of tired. Might be a good time to mosey on. So I don't envision anybody sitting there all day. If somebody fought me on it, then I think we could have that conversation and, you know, stop serving after that point, or tell them, you know, that the dog is going to have to be put up or something. But no, I don't think it would be a drink all day, 9 to 4.
Thank you.
Any other comments from our justices? The audience? Yes, Justice Strong.
I guess I had the question, are there any other of these facilities in the county? Okay. In the state?
Oh, yeah.
Microphone, please.
Sorry, this is weird.
So there is a place called Bark Bar in Little Rock that is similar-ish. It is not operated in conjunction with a daycare, so it's staffed and all that. It's a full restaurant and it's a full bar that has live music and all of the things. It's a bar that has dogs, if that makes more sense. In Northwest Arkansas, there's several dog-friendly breweries, but nowhere that a dog can play off-leash and socialize at the same time.
So my next question would be, are you aware of any community issues that they've had, complaints from the community, or legal issues that any of those facilities?
I'm not aware of any. I know that Bark Bar in Little Rock is in the city. It's downtown, so I can imagine there would be some things there. I know that they have the dogs in a really small area in that facility, smaller than I would be comfortable with. In Northwest Arkansas, no. Not that I am aware of, again, and we've taken our dogs to breweries up there, and you know, it's been fine, and nothing that I'll be aware of.
Thank you. If our justices don't have any more questions or comments, I would like to open up our questions and comments to the public. If anybody would like to speak on this matter, I would like to give you the opportunity to do so. Yes, sir.
Madam Chair, members of the Quorum Court, serving it to our judge. My name is Pastor E.C. Malpia, and I serve as senior pastor of the True Holiness Church here in the city of Conway. And I wanted to talk to you today because I was a little concerned with the language of the proposed ordinance. Particularly, there was one sentence that got my attention, and I'm just going to read it. It says a private club licensed in Highway or Hounds Highway Pet Parents Association would benefit the community. And the two words that really concerned me out of that sentence is benefit the community. Now, certainly I won't insult anybody's intelligence, but when I think about the community, the first definition that comes is geographical location. And so our church has been at the location it presently is since 1999, which is going to be about 200 feet away from their property. And so there are a lot of uncertainties out there that I feel like have to be addressed before we could comfortably say it's going to benefit the community. So in my mind, I would think that there's some uncertainties that need to be addressed first, and then there has to be a conversation between the community, the potential club, to agree, does this really benefit the community? Because I think that's your goal as a Quorum Court, to make sure it does that. And so I'm going to just mention a few questions that we have as a church and a community that we would certainly like to have some answers to. I was glad to see a concept, but we're really concerned about what the actual site plan and facility will look like when it's actually built. Our local church, over the last 4 years, have invested about $300,000 to $400,000 on renovating and updating our campus. Right now, we're putting on new roofs, about some of $80,000. And so one of our first questions is, if it's going to benefit the geographical community, is it going to be comfortable to our church? And more than anything, is it going to raise the property value? Is it going to decrease the property value, or anything in between? But that's a question. Another question for us is, what are the actual hours of operation? Is it going to be open on Sundays? And if it's going to be open on Sundays, at what time will it be open? Another thing that we're concerned about is, will there be adequate parking? And how do they define adequate parking? And if they run out of parking, Does that mean that the clients or customers or members are asked to leave the premises? Or does that mean they need to find other parking, which would be the church next door or out on the busy highway? Those are questions that we want to ask. And in fairness, our church has a lot of big events like College Day and Family and Friends Day. And when we run out of parking, are our members going to be able to be on their parking lot? Or will that cause a problem? I'm talking about mutual benefit. Another thing that we want to know about is, because of the fact that it will sell alcohol in some capacity, will it be required to have private certified security? Now, let me say this. I want this to be on the record. I really appreciate Sheriff Riles and the Faulkner County Sheriff's Department. I have served as chaplain of the Conway Police Department for about 17 years now. And so I've got law enforcement in my family, in our church, and I personally serve as a volunteer. But what I do know, because I watch you guys, y'all work very passionately to build the budget, particularly for the Department of Police, the Faulkner County Sheriff's Department. So does this mean that if they don't and are not required to have personal security, that that's going to pull on the resources from the Sheriff's Department if one of the guests there or someone from the church has a problem? And then I'm concerned about response time, because there is a broad geographical area in our county, and how is that going to benefit the two parties? Another thing that we kind of thought about was, when guests are at the facility, are they required to be inside the park or inside of the facility the entire time that they're there, or is it permissible for them to be out in the parking lot? Now, our local church has a lot of things outside on our campus. We're on about a 4-acre tract. We have a lot of little children out there, different events. And we are a very lively church, meaning we have a big, loud band. And they often play in the parking lot for events. So I'm concerned, are the children going to possibly hear colorful language from across because people are having a good time? Or are we going to get called on because our band is loud and it's affecting the dogs? So all of these things are questions that I have. Questions about, and is there going to be some type of requirement for a noise level on either side? Here's the last thing that I would ask as far as a question, and then I'll conclude my remarks. I'm concerned about the future of that part of the county. Now, I know nobody has a crystal ball, and we can't predict, but you all are very intelligent people. I see that every day through your work. And I would ask you, as it relates to future businesses in that area that are 200 feet from the church, will a private club attract businesses that will, that we would all feel comfortable surrounding one of our local churches? Here's my last bit of concern. The biggest uncertainty is, I'm concerned about, if you guys pass this and it moves on to the ABC board, out of our community, I know you guys have our best interests at heart as far as the local church, but who's going to guarantee that anything we agree upon between the two parties is going to be legally binding, so that 3 years from now, we have this wonderful partnership that we said we wanted? True Holiness has been here 30 years. We're not going anywhere. A good business opportunity could come, and some owners that are not so kind and are not so passionate about the community and more passionate about profits could change the whole purpose of that place with that license, and we couldn't say anything about it because it's no longer under our jurisdiction. So if it's going to benefit the community, I think the questions have to be answered, not in general terms, but very specifically. They have to be agreed upon on the community we're saying we want to benefit. And there has to be some teeth in it, meaning that there is a way that it's going to be followed as we move forward. And if that's not possible, then I think your only course of action is to deny it to go any further. But those are our comments, but our church is very concerned about this. Thank you.
First of all, thank you for your service to our police department and our community. We greatly appreciate that. I don't know that the court and the committee tonight can address all of your questions and even your concerns. Some of those things I realize are going to have to be worked out. But is would anybody like to answer any of the things that he brought up?
I can't remember all the specifics, so I can't answer all the specifics right now. Lacey can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but currently they came to us at this juncture because they're getting prepped for the design phase of this. They want to know, before we start designing this facility, is this even going to be a possibility? So that's why we're here in front of you today. Another reason is because you'll notice on your ordinance, you do not see an emergency clause on this ordinance. This ordinance is going to have three readings. This is not something we're trying to rush through. This is not something we're trying to push through real quick. It takes time. It takes deliberation. It takes communication, like Pastor Maltby mentioned. It's something that deserves that conversation. So that's why we make sure not to have any sort of emergency clause on it, because it deserves 3 months worth of deliberation. I share my concern with Pastor Maltbia about the future of that side of town. We have a great thing out there. We have a great thing in East Conway, and I don't even want to talk about it because I don't want no one coming out there and ruining it. True Holiness has been a staple in that community, like you said, for 30 years, and more so just True Holiness, but the people that make up that community, I mean, have been a critical part of that community for generations out there. I think that's one reason that I'm more excited about this opportunity than concerned about it, is because it's something different. It's safe. It's not the typical private club thing. We have just down the road, if you haven't been there to eat, we've got Uncle Tim's, a fantastic establishment. Served great barbecue and fried fish and everything. When me and him have a conversation about this, one concern that he had, and I shared in that concern, was if we approve this private club permit, do you think we could see other private clubs come in that area that aren't what this is, you know, that are not as kind of safe and private and everything as that is? And my answer was, it's up to this court to control that, you know, and me being the JP from that area, I'll be the first one to stand up and say, this is not something that our little community out here wants, you know. So that's kind of, that'd be my response to Pastor Mavia, is that I share his concerns for that side of town. I am curious. I don't know the legal side of what he mentioned, which was if Hounds comes in and does this, and then something happens and another company comes in and buys that and changes the rules. I'm not. We'd have to have an attorney from ABC probably come in and talk about what that looks like and how that permit can or cannot be transitioned. Yeah.
Oh, good.
The permit stays with the organization. It doesn't stay with the facility. So if it sells, if we leave, the permit goes with us. So no one can buy it and come and reoccupy the space and do the same thing. To the cosmetic things, I'll just share with our, since we already have three facilities, just some cost and kind of to help with the aesthetics part of it. So the first building that we bought on the west side of town, we put a $400,000 renovation into that building. The second one we built ground up in Jonesboro. We spent $900,000 on that building. And the one in Rogers, we did a $600,000 renovation on that building. So the one in Rogers is very, very similar aesthetically to this one. And so I think I can definitely share pictures when the time is right, but I think it'll be a good model for what could happen. And then, I mean, just personally, I'll share that the only reason that we have Hounds Hideaway is because the gas industry went kaput. That's what I did before this. And so that little group of buildings were, you know, gas services buildings back when all that was a thing. And so I care a lot about that type of facility not just going to mush over the course of time, because, you know, that helped me get my career and helped me get to where I am now. And I think that may be silly, but I do care about making sure that buildings that were there for something really good once upon a time don't just go to waste, and that we can make them something pretty and change the concept. I think the exact hours you asked about, so it'd be open 9 a.m. until sunset, and then the parking. So could we go back to the first slide really quick? Yes, same hours on Sunday. So where the building is over on the right, and then the little L shape over to the left, those are two separate pieces of property. We bought both of them. The long left-hand side there is going to be for parking. It is way more than what we need. So capacity-wise, what we're talking about is a maximum of probably 50 dogs. So that could be a few more than 50 people on a max given, you know, really, really busy time. But there is, I think, almost 2 acres in that little L shape there. So there's plenty of room for any parking needs that we would have. And we would welcome any overflow, you know, church parking, of course, in that area as well. And we can visit about the specifics of that. But yes, there should be plenty of room for that. Nobody would be allowed to be outside the permitted area. In fact, it'll be completely separate internally and externally from the daycare boarding grooming part of the facility that we will already have. Even that will all be separated off where you can't even go into those areas either. I think that was the gist of it.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, comments?
If nobody else has any good answer, we'll go ahead and disappear.
Briefly want to say, I know this is the first time that the plan has been presented publicly. Thank you for bringing that forward. And I appreciate Justice Lahowski leaving the emergency clause off of it so that this, you know, not only this committee, but the full court, if it makes it to that stage, has plenty of time to continue the conversation and discuss this. Because I think what Pastor Malvia addressed and the concerns that he and his church members have about the facility are well-founded, and I hope in sincere, there's a sincere and good faith effort on your behalf to address those concerns with him beyond the scope of this meeting alone, and to act in good faith. It, you know, his support will mean a lot on how I personally vote on this issue. I've supported ABC permits for Alvin County in the past. I would like to support this one as well. But it does impact everybody, and I just want to say that I hope there will be a good faith effort on both parties to address those concerns.
Thank you, Justice Pearson. Justice Allison?
Yes, thank you, Pastor, for bringing that up, everything up. I would like to ask about the security plan, because I've known people, my grandfather drank every day, and I never saw him drunk. I've also known people that it doesn't take very much alcohol to turn them into a monster. And somebody that looks, when they fill out the application and bring their pretty little dog or a poodle or something, they might look like a perfectly safe person, but they might turn into somebody that you don't want to be around.
Right, and that is that's important. And yes, there will be security for, one, the dogs, and two, almost all of my employees are 21, 22-year-old females. And nothing gets me riled up faster than anything threatening their safety, hands down. So that's number one for me, is nobody's going to make any of them feel uncomfortable, beer or no beer. So, yes, there will be, I don't know the certified terms and all that that he mentioned, but if that's what we need to do, that's fine with me.
And so the almost all are 20 and 21, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
So do you hire underage people that would be there working while there's alcohol served on the premises?
No. We have younger people that work in our daycare boarding facility on the west side of town, and that's where they would stay. Anybody on the east side of town would be at least 21.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments from the public? Yes, Justice Stein.
I guess I have a question, but I also have a statement. I can appreciate the pastor's concern, and I have a question about, is there going to be any separation between the church, like a fence or a wall or anything like that? And the reason that raises a concern to me is that I'm the head of security for the church that I attend, and our neighbors have a really large dog that's not well fenced in, and we have a playground, and the kids on nice days do go out, and this dog does get agitated. And it ties up resources because I have to have, anytime the kids go out and play, I feel like that I have to have someone armed in that area. God forbid that that dog should get out and we have to either attack a child or somebody on the staff might have to shoot the dog, you know, to prevent that. And but the biggest thing is that does put a burden on the church. And so I'm curious as to, is there going to be any kind of a barrier that would prevent any kind of a concern like that?
Just looking at the map, just so you can see, Justice Strain, you got the building there, you got the pines to the south of the building there. There's a concrete parking lot to the south of that where the name Ward is over. That's Mr. Leon Britton's detail shop right there. You can kind of see a very corner of the highway in the bottom left hand of the picture. True Holiness is right across, right on the other side of the highway from that, is where the church is located. See, there's some distance there, as well as a natural row of trees, pine trees there.
And also, all of the dogs they have to go through a testing. To make sure that they're not aggressive, fenced in or not.
Well, you didn't answer the question, though. Is there going to be some kind of a barrier? Is there a fence?
Yes. So the thing that really makes this different than just a dog-friendly bar, restaurant, what have you, is the ability for the dogs to be off-leash. And so anywhere the dog's going to be off-leash has to have at least a 6-foot fence. We typically do privacy fence on anything that is exterior-facing just because it can go all the way to the ground. Dogs can't see through it. If they can't see through it, it typically keeps the noise level down because they can't see anything on the other side to get riled up about, bark at, so it helps keep noise down. And then again, at least being that tall, you don't have anybody really escaping.
Any other questions or comments?
Madam Chair, I'd like to say that I love this idea, but right now I'm going to make a motion to table this. I think some things need to get worked out before I'm comfortable voting to pass this on to full court.
Do I have a second?
I would second that.
So, Councilor Murphy, how exactly does this work with our three readings and the tabling it?
And those are two separate issues. So, the three readings is an issue for full court. I wouldn't even worry about necessarily at this point. You need to deal with the motion on the table, which is the table.
Vote on that to
table.
Well,
you can discuss it if you want to discuss it, and then vote.
Or we can make a motion to go ahead and vote tonight.
First, you need to make... there has to be discussion and vote on the current motion on the table.
And then we can move forward to...
Depending on how that vote goes.
Okay, thank you. Just wanted to clarify.
One more clarification. If we don't table it tonight, and if it got voted down, he can bring it back later?
Absolutely.
Okay.
we need to, I will entertain a motion to vote on the
You don't need a motion to vote. We've already got a motion to table. You just, is there any further discussion? And if not, then go ahead and vote.
And we can go ahead and vote on the motion to table this now. Do we need to do a roll call vote or?
I just want to make sure I understand. So then if we're tabling it, it can be brought back up. But the other option would have been, had that motion not been made or seconded, that we could vote tonight and then it would be done?
Justice Roberts, we really don't have, and I know this is a weird differentiation between Robert's Rules of Order and our Democratic Rules of Order. We used the term table earlier tonight. We don't really have that term in the Democratic Rules. It's really a postpone, a request to postpone. I think everybody just understands kind of what it means. But it makes no difference procedurally whether it is tabled or whether it's voted down. A justice of the peace at any time can contact a member of that chairperson and ask to be on an agenda, whether it has been tabled or whether it has been voted down. There's no prohibition to bringing an ordinance back up.
Thank you. Is everybody clear? All right, we will vote on the motion to table this. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
No.
So that motion does not pass. We will not table this issue. I will entertain a motion to vote on this tonight.
Second.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. We just need someone to make the motion.
Make
go
the motion
ahead.
To vote on this tonight.
I'll move that we vote on tonight.
I'll second that.
Thank you, guys. All right, with that being said, I would like to do a roll call vote, if that's okay. All the confusion that has gone on.
Justice Allison?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm going to go ahead and roll for you. Yes.
No.
Justice Moss?
Yes.
Justice Roberts?
No.
Motion does, or the ordinance does fail to move forward to full court.
Justice Coates?
Yes, sir.
Thank y'all for your consideration.
Thank you for helping clarify that. That was
no problem.
Confusing for several of us newbies. All right, are there any additional announcements? I am a little bit chilly, Mr. Nichols.
I'm not complaining.
No complaining either.
Thank you, Justice Allison.
All right, and with that being said, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.